You're listening to WFHB, community radio for South Central Indiana. Up next is Standing Room Only, featuring a press conference held today, July 31st, by Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton with regard to public safety issues at the Bloomington Farmers Market. That's Standing Room Only, right here on WFHB. Produced in partnership with Community Access Television Services at the Monroe County Public Library.
Welcome. Is this working okay? All right. Welcome and thank you for being here today. I'm John Hamilton, the mayor of Bloomington. Glad you're here in person or on CATS. I'll be making some prepared remarks today, this morning, and then taking questions, first from the press, if we would, and then from anyone present. I appreciate this morning being joined by Corporation Counsel Philippa Guthrie, Director of Parks and Recreation Paula McDevitt, and Police Chief Mike Dekoff, who may join in during the question period. I know we have City Clerk Nicole Bolden. I saw City Council Member Jim Sims. Are there other City Council members here? Anyway, thank you for being here, both of you, and let's proceed. 2 days ago, I announced that due to public safety concerns, I was directing the cancellation of the community farmers market for the next 2 Saturdays. I took this action based upon specific recommendations from our local public safety officials and after consulting with others locally and nationally. It was a very painful decision to suspend our beloved farmers market, affecting hundreds of local farmers and their families and thousands of patrons and visitors. But it was necessary because our first obligation is to protect public safety. Today, I want to share some background of the decision, continue our ongoing conversations, and also begin to chart the path forward in light of our current realities. We have work to do together, including more conversations to have to move forward and reclaim our community farmers market. Perhaps today's Herald Times editorial put it best. We want our farmers market back. With public safety as a top priority for any city administration, I begin by highlighting 2 major challenges to our ability to provide that public safety. Both are avoidable challenges created by humans, by terrible policies and actions, but not under our local control. First is gun control. Let me state the obvious. When conflict and tension are present in public gatherings, it is dramatically more difficult to protect public safety when firearms and other weapons are present and pervasive. If any here are familiar with the memoir, Fist, Stick, Knife, Gun, by Jeffrey Canada, you'll recall that story, among other things, vividly and poignantly portrays how the presence of guns dramatically changes fights and conflict and culture. Our national laws, and particularly our Indiana laws, are disgraceful and endanger us and should be changed. Most directly here, they work to hamstring us locally from virtually any attempts to manage the presence of firearms at our farmers' market. I have publicly opposed those dangerous laws and policies from my first day in office, and that remains a priority. Second is a toxic stew of bigotry and hatred, of intolerance and divisiveness that is being brewed by many all across the country, including our own president. I am ashamed, agitated, and angered. I'm furious that coming from our White House are messages of bigotry and racism. We cannot hesitate to say so, that seek to affirm and foment these deep and dangerous parts of humanity, parts that civilization and enlightenment and progress work so hard to improve. I won't give those words the dignity of repeating them here. We all have heard them. Shamefully, dangerously, evilly disrespecting 4 U.S. Congresswomen of color and also a great American city, once home to Frederick Douglass and Thurgood Marshall. These are outrageous and destructive. They are encouragement to those who are racist, disgruntled, who suffer from mental illness, a threat to public safety. We see far too many eruptions of violence from organized groups and from individuals spurred on by this atmosphere of bigotry. In dealing with local potential violence, among other things, we face these two terrible external realities of guns and toxic national atmosphere. They affect our community and our farmers' market like they affect every community in America. It's worth noting not only in America, but across the globe as authoritarian leaders foment hate and violence. So amid these two external realities, locally, we've also witnessed tension and conflict increasing in the market over the past several weeks. Despite intensive efforts from city staff and volunteers, and would you please join me in thanking city staff and volunteers who have worked so hard with such dedication over the past weeks? I want to thank you. Even with that work focusing our attention on the market, 2 days ago, our public safety officials reported to me information identifying threats of specific individuals with connections to past white nationalist violence. After discussions, we made the determination that protecting public safety required the 2-week suspension. So another reality we have in Bloomington is the presence of the doctrine of white supremacy, its pervasive role in our collective history, and its presence still today. I realize that this does not jibe with the Bloomington many of us think of, that we are proud of, that we cherish. But as I said last month, we know and must continually acknowledge that today's more progressive Bloomington has grown through our 200-year history in a soil laced with that toxin of racism. Like our state and our country, our community was long home to both overt and covert white supremacy, built in our laws, culture, and mores. That doctrine and system of beliefs is still a scourge in our community and country. It demands and deserves unqualified condemnation and vigorous opposition. Thank goodness so many Bloomingtonians, and I count myself among them, have worked and do work against that scourge, striving to repair damage done over generations, seeking to quell revivals or uprising of the bigotry and hate that can appear among us, and envisioning our community moving forward from that past. Our community is indeed dedicated to inclusion and welcoming all. That is part of our local DNA now. But we have to recognize that legacies and remainders and reminders persist in us and among us and at our farmers' market. As a community, then, one thing we must do together is fight against racism and bigotry and their legacies wherever they arise, including at our farmers' market. Like many, I have spoken out condemning connections to white supremacy in our market. We know active community members have organized education and advocacy campaigns, as well as economic responses, including boycotts, and I am fully supportive of those efforts. As I'll talk about more in a minute, it takes a community to respond to these challenges. As a city government, we also must fight to protect and defend our Constitution. That document and the ideals that inspire it and the principles contained in it, more than anything, define our country. As a mayor, I swear to uphold our Constitution in my work. The First Amendment certainly allows a mayor to speak out forcefully against white supremacy and work against racial justice in all its forms. The First Amendment also prohibits using the coercive power of government in response to the content of individual speech or thought, even those odious to our community. It means not punishing individuals with government action because of the content of their beliefs or statements. We don't police your thoughts. The First Amendment prohibits government from that. and any actions to the contrary could just result in civil money awards to organizations we certainly don't want to support. Let me directly address the arrest last Saturday of a protester against white supremacy whose spirit and goals I certainly share. As is widely known, longstanding market rules prohibit flyers or placards in certain areas. Protesters have been complying with those rules for weeks, leafleting and educating at entrances to the market. The First Amendment requires our government to enforce this rule in a viewpoint-neutral manner, regardless whether a sign advocates something that I, as a mayor, and our own government and the vast majority of us support, such as denouncing white nationalism, or whether it's a sign we find abhorrent, like favoring white nationalism, or a sign for or against a woman's right to choose, or any sign at all. That even-handed approach to enforcing market rules regarding protest is constitutionally required and resulted in the actions last Saturday. So what comes next? Where do we go from here? As I've said at the outset, given the threat of violence that has required this pause, we have more work to do, conversations to have, knowledge to gain. What happened over the last 2 months has gone beyond our local control, in a sense, as some of these external realities and other forces combined to threaten our community's safety. We need to reclaim our community's market. There is a key role for city government. We will protect public safety at the market and manage and run the market for vendors and patrons in a way that reflects our city and that reflects our values. We have to examine together whether and how we can do that better, including with next year's vendor contracts and agreements. We have to understand all the nuances of constitutional boundaries. In the immediate 2 weeks, we will be improving programming, increasing staff and volunteer presence, and enhancing safety procedures at the market. But we certainly don't know all the answers. We welcome ideas about how best to do our work as we gather in coming days. That will include ongoing convenings with some national experts to help us respond effectively and safely to the situation we face. There is a key, perhaps more essential role for the community at large. Our farmers market does not belong to the city government. It belongs to the community. It has for 45 years. Our market has been damaged. Attendance has declined about 50% recently. Repair won't be simple or easy. The city government will play our role, but recovery will absolutely depend upon the community embracing the market as individuals and as organizations to help restore it to the thriving central place we want it to play on our summer Saturdays. Many individuals and organizations have been embracing the market, seeking to protect it and help it, help us move ahead. Even in the past 2 days, we've seen heartwarming efforts from folks identifying new options for vendors for the coming 2 weekends and offering space as alternative venues. We saw a beautiful, bustling Tuesday market yesterday. United Way and Downtown Bloomington, Inc. and others are offering help. This is Bloomington pulling together to meet the challenges. We collaborate and cooperate. Please keep your eyes out for a list of these alternative spaces and go patronize our hardworking farmers who've already dealt with crop loss this year due to a very wet spring. My office of the mayor and Parks and Recreation welcome any and all ideas and suggestions about the best steps to take. Be in touch with us. We will be announcing more gatherings and more plans in the coming days. I encourage and I expect many of you individually and in groups to manifest your support for the market and this community too, with your own gatherings and your own collaborative efforts. Our goal is to reopen and restore the market as a place that reflects Bloomington's best and that reflects our values. In other contexts, we've talked about our safe, civil, and just community. That's what the market should be too. We know that safe, civil, and just doesn't necessarily mean tranquil. It doesn't mean always easy or comfortable. It means physically safe. It means civil and just, meaning respectful and inclusive, equitable and fair. It also should be fun. When we reopen the market, it will be because our community embraced the market as something we believe in and will not let go. Take a deep breath. Look around you. This is Bloomington. This is one of our challenges to meet. It's a community market with community challenges that we will meet with community solutions. This is Bloomington. We got this. Thank you. I'm happy to take questions from the press if you like. Any questions from the press? Yes.
Specific people during the farmers market, were they online for us? Can you confirm that they're connected to the vendor?
I'm not going to go into threats, and I may ask Chief Dekoff to speak about that. The threats were enough to identify particular individuals that meant to us. We saw a threat of violence in the market. And given the realities that I talked about, we felt it was critical for public safety to hit pause. We're confident we'll be able to reopen that. And Chief Dekoff, I don't know if you want to talk any more about that or if that's enough.
Our number one concern is the community safety, and that's what we're looking at. And the two-week pause on the market will allow us to look at some more information and put some plans in place to make sure that everyone who's there feels safe. I'm not going to go into details about what those threats were, but when it reopens, it will hopefully have a much safer feel to it. I'm not going to go into the details of that. Thanks.
And have you guys confronted the vendor that is allegedly tied to this white supremacist group to ask them to not attend the farmers market anymore?
Conversations have been held with vendors, including all the vendors, about how to respond to this situation. And we will continue that with all the vendors.
And I see a lot of people post about wanting them to no longer be at the farmers market. So are you guys going to ask them to not come back for the rest of the
year? We're exploring a lot of different options. I'll say that.
You mentioned that there was some folks who were armed at the markets. Are those individuals who call Indiana 3%?
Well, what I said is, in the state of Indiana, the gun laws allow a huge amount of guns to be carried. Chief Dekoff can speak to that also. We know there are guns in the market, and we are concerned about our ability that, as I said also, tensions and conflicts can arise in lots of public places. When there are guns around, it can get dangerous quickly. So
I was asking if there were some folks who told us that they had seen these people around and question, and they had sidearms and knives. Is that what kind of elevated this to?
There were some weapons visible Saturday, but I would venture there are weapons at the market every Saturday. There are people. There are thousands of weapons in Monroe County. And the concern... Sorry?
We have 3% present at our market.
So I'm taking questions from the press first, and then we'll open it up. As I understand, there were self-identified folks who had a hat that said 3% on it, I believe, at the market. But go ahead.
Just to follow on the gun law issue, I imagine because Indiana is an open carry state and the market's a public place, how do you get, what do you do? It's obviously the state legislature to me.
Yeah, I wrote an article, an op-ed about this years ago, and I think in my first year that said we don't want pistols at our pools or machine guns in our parades. Indiana law is disgraceful in its restrictions on local officials being able to protect safety. I want them to be changed. I urge them to be changed. I'm not optimistic they will be changed quickly, but I hope common sense and what the vast majority of Hoosiers want can be accomplished. It's unfortunate it is not. Yeah.
Do you believe you'll be able to address this in the two-week span, or do you think you might have to broaden it?
It's our plan to address it in the two-week span. That's our plan.
Can you talk about the difficulty that you're having dealing with this, since by having a firearm, and that's one of the things that, you know, people in the city have said has made them feel threatened during the farmer's market? I mean, having those kinds of weapons already isn't against the law in Indiana. So, I mean, how are you going to be able to fix this and make people...
That sounds like a really good question for the state legislature. I hope you'll ask them that, too. And look, I mean, all of us read the papers and watch the news. I mean, over the last weekend, we saw... You know, the tragic events that can happen at gatherings. It's the double whammy of the disgraceful laws and the disgraceful fomenting of this toxic atmosphere that encourages and feeds the anger and the divisiveness and the acting out, which we see in fatal ways all across the country. It's not the country we want to live in. So our market is in the middle of this, absolutely. And we will do everything we can to protect us. But there's no question that changes in laws and policies and words and actions are important, too. Press questions?
Did law enforcement actually tell that lady or one of the other people present who felt intimidated by the individuals carrying knives, that their response was that they should get a knife?
I don't know the answer to that question. I'm not sure, and I don't. We're not going to get into specifics. Maybe you want to.
Public defense anymore.
I have not talked to an officer who said to tell someone to go get their own knife.
Then could you please make a public statement on social media to clarify that the Bloomington police stand by public safety instead of just a free-for-all?
Of course, the Bloomington police and city government is focused on protecting public safety, period. Kurt.
What are the sort of legal and contractual implications of having a two-week suspension when you're looking at those contracts between the city and those vendors? Certainly, you've spoken to some of those efforts to raise awareness about where those vendors might be found, but these are established relationships.
Let me first say the vendors and the relationship between our city government parks and the vendors has been terrific and cooperative dealing with this for the last number of weeks. As you might imagine, vendors have been going through challenges and stress themselves. When we took this action, we did not take this action trying to calculate what is the legal fiscal impact of this. We took it for public safety. We felt it was needed to be done. And I suppose the short answer is we're going to figure that out with the vendors on how best to respond to them. We're certainly working very closely with them. And I hope you all, if you didn't go to the Tuesday market, I hope you'll continue to find ways to buy vegetables and fruit and other matters from our vendors, over 100 of them who operate in the market. I don't know if others want to add to that. Sure, I'm sorry. Will do. That was a question about how we're relating to the vendors in this disruption of their 2 weeks.
Mayor, in your statement, you said that you want to welcome everyone to the Bloomington Farmers Market and that everyone's obviously welcome to partake in this, but are you saying that people that carry weapons are not welcome?
I would encourage people not to bring weapons to the farmers market. I wish they wouldn't. I think it would be safer if they didn't. I think we should leave the weapons to the trained professionals of the police force who carry them and protect us all. The question was, would I encourage people not to bring weapons to the market? I hope people will not bring weapons to the market and urge you.
Where people are feeling threatened is maybe making people feel like they need to carry a weapon to be safe?
Well, I don't pretend to be a professional on this, but the theory that more of us carrying more weapons in public settings to make more safety is insane. As I wrote in an article, I said, how do we expect, using this silly phrase, how do we expect all of us to be able to tell the difference between a good guy with a gun and a bad guy with a gun? It's hard enough for trained professionals to do that and to handle it well. So I encourage people not to bring weapons to the market. I encourage our legislature to change the rules urge that we approach safety that way and let the professionals do their job. Other media questions? Yeah.
What rules for protesters at this moment at the farmer's market, and how do you expect those to change in the next 2 weeks?
Do you want to take those, Paula?
Absolutely.
The rules. Paula McDevitt can describe those rules.
The question was how can protesters and how were the rules for the protesters change in the next few weeks? We have Information Alley and have had that space since market began back downtown when it was literally an alley. And so that space is open for individuals, organizations who want to share their ideas, debate, discuss. And that is a place for that to occur. We have for decades directed people in market who had flyers, who had posters, who wanted to have those discussions in the market space itself where commerce was occurring. We directed them to Information Alley. We also have spaces, a boundary around market where we have been directing people to. And that's what you have seen in the past few weeks, people at the entrances to market distributing flyers. And that is in an effort to keep the market safe and open and for commerce to happen throughout market. And those are the rules that have been in place for decades and will continue to be in place. And staff will continue to walk through market and run market as we have for decades.
You're listening to Standing Room Only, featuring a press conference held today, July 31st, by Mayor John Hamilton regarding public safety concern at the Bloomington Farmers Market.
The question is how might the rules be changed? T-shirts, hats, placards, signs, how is that done? We don't have immediate plans to change those rules. We welcome ideas and suggestions from people if they think they should be changed. They've been in operation for decades. It's certainly open to discussion, but one of the efforts is to preserve the commerce central function of the market and to identify places nearby, and including in public sidewalks and others, where, of course, as a public forum, lots of things can be said and displayed. And we'll continue to look at that. Other media questions? Yes, and then yes. Go ahead.
Disturbances in the market, you know, that kind of led up to this moment. Do you think the city could have taken action sooner? I mean, we've seen things kind of bubble over the last couple of months, despite an umpteen amount of meetings. Do you think this could have been done sooner and maybe not resulted in a two-week closure?
Question is whether the city could have done things differently over the past years or months to avoid a closure. Always can ask questions about how we should have done things differently. I'm very proud of the dedication and focus that our city, our community, our staff have had to try to deal with an emerging and growing issue. We every week was every week, and the city evaluated what happened at the market. I think Paula and her team would meet every Monday morning and say, okay, what was Saturday like, and what are we headed toward, and what just happened? Again, I guess I'd point to the fact that Bloomington is not in a bubble. I think we're experiencing some activities that reflect some of the external realities that identified, and we're going to do every day what we think is the best thing for the public, and we'll continue to do that. Other media questions, Kurt?
Yeah. In other markets, including Brown County Farmers Market, they took action for their designation as a non-government entity. Among those valuations that you're making, has there been any thought given to the market moving out of government control? Is that something that's
good? So the question is, thank you. So the question is, has there been thought about taking the market out from the government, putting it in a private enterprise that could make decisions that aren't subject to the same things the government is? Those discussions have certainly taken place, and they should take place. Welcoming thoughts about that. My own view is the history of taking things from government in order to avoid constitutional requirements is not a very good one in this country. It's been done often in ways to avoid constitutional requirements of integration and racial justice and trying to avoid government responsibility. It's being dealt with in public schools today and other ways. So I think it's a It's a deep question. It's certainly worth asking. But for 45 years, our government has helped with the community nurture a beautiful and bountiful and terrific farmers market. And I'm confident we can do that again. But certainly there are folks who can bring other ideas forward. Yeah. Chief Dekoff respond to that more directly if he will. Let me just say, we always in Bloomington, if anyone feels unsafe, if they feel targeted, if they see something that concerns them and suspicious and concerned about violence or targeting, we want to hear from them. We do at times, and we respond, and we will respond actively and aggressively. Again, we are focused on protecting everybody's safety. And we encourage anybody with that kind of concern or information to please contact us. And Chief, I don't know if you want to add anything.
5 years ago, the threatening community did nothing about it. Nothing. 5 years.
Go ahead, Chief.
If people are being threatened, they need to report that to whatever law enforcement agency is in their where they live. We will take those reports very seriously and investigate them and see what we can find out and do.
Can you be specific in what the police department has had to do since this has been an ongoing issue? I mean, just, I know we're not talking about threats specifically, but this is obviously not a new issue. So what are some things that you guys have done to try to put a stop to this?
So we've increased our presence at the market to try to make people feel safer. We have responded to individual complaints of threats and harassment and have investigated those, and those investigations are still ongoing with some of those cases. And that's what we will continue to do. At this point, we are looking forward, and we are looking at the next couple of weeks and planning for the market reopening and trying to make it the safest place that we can so that everyone feels welcome and that everyone returns and has a good time.
Let me just also add, the Human Rights Commission welcomes contact as well in incidents that may not rise or may not want to reach out to the police in terms of incidents of bias or hate or those kinds of things. So other media questions, and then we'll be opening it up as soon as the media get worn out. Yes. Sure, it's certainly possible to do that. Other communities and other places have done things like that. We have some identified in state law gun-free zones, but they are very few and far between. And the legislature has actually made exceedingly onerous and threatening laws against any civil official, local official who tries to regulate that. We're subject to treble damages for attorneys and others. It's a very aggressive law to stop us from trying to do those things. We welcome and we will explore all alternatives that we have to protect our public, including any ways we can and limit weaponry. But it's a tough environment here, and it needs to be changed. Other questions from the press? Yes.
In some cases, groups have been raising bail money for protesters. I know a protester was arrested on Saturday and there were no charges. So if there are no charges after being arrested for doing something wrong in a protest, what kind of message does that send to protesters who are breaking the rules? How can we make sure that protesters are staying in communities at the front?
Look, I just say we've been exceedingly... I'll speak for myself. We've had a lot of protesters who've made their views known and been very responsible and creative and collaborative and effective, I think, in communicating their views and advocating for their views. We encourage that. We will deal with people who either by intentional choice want to violate rules that they don't think are appropriate rules. This country has a great tradition of that, of civil disobedience, and that can happen. And we will deal with that. But look, I hope is that the community recognizes this is our market and we have to come together to take care of it, make it what we want. Not going to be easy, not going to be quick, But I think we can do it, and I look forward to that happening. If there are no, are there any more questions for media? If not, we're going to open it up to anybody who wants to ask a question. So I'm going to call on you. I'm going to try to do my best to work my way around the room. So let's start right back there.
Thank you.
Your service and membership at the market. I appreciate your suggestions and views. We take them seriously. We may not agree with every point you make, but they're valid points to suggest and make. We're going to make the best decisions we can within the law to protect our market and create a future. It is a painful thing to suspend the market for 2 weeks. I know that causes difficulty and pain for vendors and families. Again, I encourage the community. I know people are working to try to ameliorate that threat, and we do appreciate those suggestions, and we're going to continue to work on it. So,
I suggest that this should even go to the Supreme Court of the United States.
Okay.
And that we should do it.
Okay.
Because our community is so threatened by one vendor.
You're confident that would end the issue. I'm not confident it would, but it's a reasonable point. So. Right here.
Hi. I can blame the environment based on red dots and shoe form. I'm set up in a long term plan. However, me taking my older friend to the market, it was kind of like fun with it, right? She's only 15 there. We've always followed the rules.
Only if you're making it out, right? Yeah.
Right. We've been making it out, we follow the rules, right? And I've been blessed step by step over a long. So my grandfather is so precious to me. Most precious.
Asking whether I'll be at the mayor. My wife Dawn and I are at the market every time we're in town, and I plan to be there when it reopens. Right? We plan. Yeah, we will. We would never miss it. So let me keep working my way around here, and then I'm going to come back over here. I got you.
I have a friend who told me his launch a month ago. She was afraid to go to the farmer's market on a shot like that. Now, by doing what you're doing here, I believe you're creating an atmosphere of fear. And that when the market does reopen,
well, I hope you you'll be at the market. It will be a safe market when we reopen it. And I'm going to be there. And
people will not be afraid. They're already afraid. It's ridiculous. Cannot stay inside your house all the time in case you might get shot somewhere.
I appreciate your sentiment. We encourage everybody to be at the market. It's a great treasure for Bloomington, and I look forward to being there with you when we reopen. Let's see. I said here next, and then we'll start back over here and work our way back. Okay? Go ahead.
What I heard you describe was that guns are allowed, but signs are not. That seems like a point of intervention. Perhaps that could be flipped. In addition, other events are continuing. The American Arts, the Tuesday Market. Is the problem that a particular vendor is there? Is that what is provoking the danger, the problem of public safety?
Well, I'll try to kind of capture the summary without verbatim. The question about allowing guns, prohibiting signs. Of course, I would prohibit guns from the market if I were allowed to under state law. We allow signs in lots of political activity. We do restrict, as they say in the law, time, manner, and place in certain ways, but welcome and encourage political activity in and around the market as appropriately under those rules. I wish I could do the gun restrictions. And your second point was?
Other events.
Oh, other events. So, we ran the market during conflict and tension and stress because we believe in the market. We don't want to close the market. We don't want to let fear or concern change who we are. We made a decision this week because there were particular concerns about that particular place, that event, that prompted us to close it. There are thousands of events that go on in Bloomington all the time, and we encourage that and welcome that and keep everybody safe. It's been a wonderful community to enjoy that, and will continue to be. So let me start over here and then work my way back. Okay, we'll start up here and then we'll come down. Go ahead.
Thank you. As far as I understand it, Indiana state law prevents police officers from, let's say you notice a bulge in someone's hip or something, from asking to see their gun license if there's no other probable cause of a crime. Now, we know people have been open carrying knives and clubs and other weapons, right? And this is a deliberate, ostentatious display of toxic masculinity, and it's spoiling for a fight, as we can all recognize. I'd like you guys to affirm, you and the police chief, that if you see weapons openly carried on a person, that will serve as probable cause to make sure. I'm asking you to offer that declaration because I think it's inciting. You know, if I came in here with a club on my belt, right? I'm saying something.
Some of you may be armed in here right now. I don't know. That's the way Indiana law works. So
I'm not talking about concealed weapons.
You can carry a shotgun in here.
A military uniform with a club and a 6-inch Bowie knife. That's probable cause in this situation.
Unfortunately, Indiana has some of the most liberal gun laws in the country. I wish, and I have testified before the legislature in this last session where there were state legislators who were wanting to make it easier for people to have and carry guns. I wish all of you who are upset about that would go to the legislature because the legislature actually penalizes municipalities if they go too far on trying to limit guns. So yes, we can check people who have guns to see if they have permits, but we have to do so very carefully because the way that the Indiana statutes are written, it can penalize a municipality for action.
Terrorization of market and sales over people and a sense of vulnerability in a very, very dangerous time.
So there's a question. I don't live in the world I want to live in. I don't live in the state, the context that I want to live in. And so I agree with a lot of the context of what you described. I tried to talk about the arrest itself, which I know has been an issue of concern. I tried to indicate I'm My views and my heart align with the person who took those actions, but I tried to explain, and I will again, that when we as a government have a rule, which could be changed, don't get me wrong, it could be changed, but the rule that we have prohibits political signs in certain areas of the market. You can think that's a bad idea, you think it's a good idea. Just realize that whatever our rule is, it applies to everybody and every message and every content. So our current rule says you may not demonstrate with certain ways in certain areas. And if people choose to do so, we do have a choice to make. What do? We could decline to enforce, but then it would mean we would need to decline to enforce against every sign. Next week could be a lot of different signs. That's a judgment call. That's fair. You asked specifically if there were meetings about that arrest. There were not. That was done in the normal course of operations at the farmers market. For decades, for every week, there are people who don't do things quite according to the rules of the market, and that's dealt with appropriately. So I'm going to keep moving here and then here. Yep. I am confident that the vast majority of Bloomingtonians are brokenhearted that we have places where not everyone does feel welcome. We know that our history as a 200-year history of a community has had lots of places where lots of people have not felt welcome, and that we're making progress, but we're not where we need to be. And we have places, and this is certainly, I do not pretend to counsel anyone about how they want to respond to this or other circumstances in the community. It is my job and my commitment to do everything I can to make this a community where everyone does feel welcome and embraced. And that's partly the community's job too, right? To embrace all of us. And not everyone in the community will do that. That's clear. We are moving in the right direction. The farmers market is a place where this has reared its head, and it's arisen. It's other places too, more and less visible. But I completely understand that because of limits in what the city government can do, because of realities of our culture and our community, there are places where people do not feel welcome, and that is a shame. And we need to keep working on it. Respect for her actions, but I can only say that, as I've said before, that the city tries to be legal, constitutional, appropriate in enforcement of the rules. And sometimes people choose to civil disobedience and to make a point, and that's perfectly valid. And no, I appreciate the concern and the question, and we'll be happy to talk about it more later. So, right there and in there, okay? I'm just calling on people as I can see them. I'll get to you. The question is, we've focused on the market. Is there concern about other places? I'll let Chief Dekoff respond to that as well. I think the only answer I will and can give is we're always concerned about public safety. We're always trying to pay attention to dynamics and things that we see in the community, around the community. This is a very safe community. We expect it to continue to be a safe community. We're going to do everything we can to keep it that way. So if there's any particular threats or concerns, we of course welcome hearing about them, and we're always watching for them. I don't know if you have.
Obviously, we can't predict what someone might do, but we're not seeing any indications that it is going to spread to houses of worship or places like that.
Questions about discussing white nationalism and not talking about Antifa. I just want to make clear my view that the forces that I believe are driving this toxin, this concern, this legacy that arises and is encouraged are ones we have to be vigilant, collaborative, explicit about criticizing. Of course, there are people who respond to different things in different ways, and that's one of the concerns we have. But I want to keep the focus on making sure this is an inclusive, welcoming community that makes clear ideologies of hate and bigotry are not welcome here. And let's leave it at that. Next. Yeah. I'll come up there in a minute, right here, and then I'm going to hit up there, okay?
If I go to the farmer's market next time it opens and I'm carrying a sign that says ban assault weapons or ban weapons at the farmer's market, am I going to jail?
Depends on where you carry it, but if you carry it in the areas that are allowed, but if you go into the areas under current rules of the market, we do not allow political placards in the area. So would it be if you carried a sign that said "Buy apples from such and such"? Yeah, up there. On three, the question was, how can we expect a community to feel safe and come back to a market if they don't feel safe? I'll summarize with the police. We work hard every day. Our police are part of us. Community policing is the essence of what we do. I always say the more our community knows about their police, the better. The more our police knows about our community, the better. We welcome people getting to know our police as much as possible. I assure you that our police are highly trained, focused on protecting everyone's safety without fear or favor, and they will continue to do so, and happy to take suggestions on how we can get better at that. Paul, I'll let you on Information Alley. Let me just clarify one thing. Everybody may not know all the niceties. Information Alley is one particular location in the market where, as the question indicated, there are spaces to rent for the season or for the day to distribute, set up a booth, et cetera. Those do have a modest but real cost to them. There are also public areas in all the entrances to the market and other areas along the beeline that are open to the public at no cost to do similar things, though there may be limits on structures, I think. And I don't know if you want to add that. Mike, you can talk about that.
Great. Thank you for your question about Information Alley. And yes, we do have a fee, a $10 fee. And all of this information is available on our website. And you register, and that's just so that we know who is coming in and can plan. Correct. There's a $10 fee and then a $10 per Saturday when you arrive. And with that, I can tell you there is plenty of space out there. There are 22 spaces in Information Alley. And for all of those of you who have been at market, it's not filled up. There's plenty of space. And then as Mayor Hamilton has referenced, there are areas outside of market on the grassy area that there is no fee. And again, all of this information is on our website, along with the map.
With regards to the arrest, the person that was arrested was not causing a problem. The officers did not have a car to transport her in, so an officer was called for that. It was the crowd that surrounded the officers that the officers called for additional people to come and help to make sure that things didn't turn out worse. So that's why the number of officers that showed up did.
Thank you.
First of all, let me say we want to thank all of those businesses and community organizations that have stepped forward within hours of us announcing this. And at this time, we are merely gathering that information and sharing that with groups that want to help people out in the community. So if you have information, if you are a business and organization that would like to help in this effort, please contact our staff. And that's the best way to proceed with that.
Right here, number three. Well, one more. I'm going to come to you. Go ahead.
Me?
Yeah.
John, you talked about national trends, the state legislation. Do the homeless on the city just realize that in one way that society of white supremacy, you don't have to be a white supremacist, society of white supremacy, by restricting freedom of speech, by using police officers to arrest members of the crowd, will give the de facto message that, hey, we're going to protect ourselves. It was just a year ago, the Megaphone had shouted me down to the most public venue in the city, and I was arrested, to arrest this professor who was quietly standing with a sign while she played with my friends and sent a chilling message. To have a market flooded with guns, and be a flashpoint of violence is something that's very concerning. This isn't a new thing. People of color have felt unsafe in this market for a long time. The city some guidance before the market sees bloodshed and the city's hands are fishing.
The question is, is the city going to act? I'm happy to respond. We are committed to making a market safe for everyone. I've talked about the arrests, and I know there are different views about that, and that's perfectly legitimate. We are committed. The reason we suspended the market was for concern of violence. We're going to reopen the market for a safe market. As the chief said, there's no place in America that is 100% safe. There are rules that we don't like, that I don't like, that you don't like, that we wish we could change. And as the chief said, let's all go up to the legislature to do what we can to change those. In the meantime, I think I'm calling on the community to help us embrace the market, move forward. We want it to be as welcoming as possible, and we're going to continue to work on that. Up here, last question. Video surveillance is a live question for what it should be, what it is. I don't believe we have current fixed video surveillance right now, but that is something that we may be talking about over the next 2 weeks, whether that would be helpful in the market. And we welcome your views on that. My guess is there are different views about that in the room, but we welcome your views about that. We're going to stay around. We're trying to be respectful of time. I know there are more questions, concerns. I appreciate and love the energy that cares about our market and our community. Let's channel that into doing this right and doing it the Bloomington way. We can get this done, and I look forward to working with all you to make sure we have a safe, a vibrant community farmers market again. Thank you.
You just heard WFHB's Standing Room Only, featuring a press conference held today, July 31st, by Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton with regard to public safety concern at the Bloomington Farmers Market, produced in partnership with Community Access Television Services at the Monroe County Public Library. That's Standing Room Only, right here on WFHB.